Welcome back to Lifeline with Michael Sullivan and Craig Perry. Now, on the line, I have the Vice President of the Union of Students in Ireland for the Dublin region, Craig McHugh. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm in great form. It's a bit nippy out there this morning, but as long as you keep moving, it's great.
I think once you keep moving, you actually pick up a bit of a sweat. So it's picking up today, thankfully. Yeah.
Don't be using those words like sweat. I'm going golfing after the show, and I don't want to be sweating. I want to be nice and cool when I'm going round.
Okay.
Now, Students' Union of Ireland and the HSE have just launched the recharge the National Mental Health Campaign. Maybe would you tell us about it, what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose this is the second year of the Recharge Campaign. It's a partnership between the HSE and the Union of Students in Ireland. And I suppose what it's all about is really about informing students in their level education on how to ensure their mental health is a top priority, whilst maintaining the kind of busy student lifestyle of juggling their studies, their work, and their social lives. It's really all about taking the stigma out of mental health and kind of laying it out there onto the fore. So we've been on campuses all week this week. We started off in Blanchardstown on Monday around GMIT Maynooth, and kind of raising awareness about this, giving out support cards with kind of the information. We've also relaunched our app as well, the Plus Connections app.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, I'm showing my age now, but a lot of people, when they think of students, you know, particularly in third level education, and they say, oh, they have it easy, you know, that they've only 20 hours or 30 hours of lectures a week, and they, you know, they have all this great time. But what people forget, that there's a terrible amount of stress on students. Because they're coming from a different environment. In like secondary education is your thought. It's brought, you know, the books are there, everything is what you're told what to do, you're given all, you know, your homework and so forth. All, everything is there laid out for you, very, you know, much easier for you. Where in third level education, you've got to do a lot of that for yourself. The lecturer comes in, he gives the lecture, he tells you, read these books, and off he goes. And I know I'm making it very simple, but it's a whole different way around, and people can get lost very easily if they don't have supports there. And of course, the students, they're maturing into young adults as well. So there's a hell of a lot of other things going around. And it is a very important thing to mind your mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose there's a major change in atmosphere. Like you said there about going from second level education into third level education. But I suppose that's just one of the kind of the main stresses that are on students at the moment. Obviously, you know, there's students that are working at the weekend too, so you might have 20, 25 hours, 30 hours lectures during the week. But that's also met now, particularly now more than ever, by working during the week. Sometimes, some cases, students working nights. Some cases, students missing lectures on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So it's not even just the time they spend in lectures, it's time they're spending throughout the week, perhaps missing those lectures as well because things are getting so expensive for them to be able to pay their rent, for them to be able to pay their fees, for them to pay for their materials. You know, that's adding massively to their stress because they're missing out on time in college too. So there's a number of factors there that are really influencing people's mental health. But just for reference, we launched our national report on student mental health there at the end of the summer. Just some of the figures were 38.4% reported feeling extremely severe levels of anxiety, 29.9%. Levels of depression, and 17.3% extreme levels of stress. So, and these are very telling figures, and really just goes to show as well that we need to kind of start talking about this more. We also start need to invest more, I suppose, into counselling services which are on campus. But really, I suppose anyone that is listening today, whether they're parents, whether they're students, or anything like that, just know there is actually plenty of support out there. There's counselling on campuses that are there to help and willing to help. And we also, as well, do encourage people to download our Plus Connections app, which is really all about increasing awareness of the services that are available to support your mental health, It also has some information on approaching a friend if you're worried about their mental health on your own, so kind of how to start that conversation. And there's also some mental health blogs there as well, so it's a good space where students can kind of read about, like, and discuss mental health and kind of how it relates to themselves, as opposed to just kind of reading a kind of a booklet from the HSE.
Yeah, and we forget how many students there are actually out there. It's like you have somewhere in the region of nearly 400,000 students across the country that are represented by the Union of Students in Ireland.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So we represent 374,000 students across the island, and I suppose we're constantly working, obviously, on campaigns like this, which are kind of more so on the ground, raising awareness. We are also constantly pushing for more investment into mental health, and I suppose in the context of the general election coming up, we really need to start a conversation on that, but also really about not just the investment in mental health, but why are students under so much pressure today more than ever? You know, the minimum wage is miles away from the living wage. That means a lot of students are under a lot of pressure to pay their rent, to pay their fees, which are now the highest fees in the EU, 27. And these issues are causing a lot of students a lot of stress. Students tend to not have many rights that we would have kind of experienced 10 years ago in the workplace. A lot of students, like if they work in the retail or in the hospitality sector, they're treated quite poorly. You know, there's a lot of stressors out there, and that's kind of one of the main reasons that we're trying to say, look, we know you're under a lot of stress here. We know, we've been there, we've experienced that. And the mental health report kind of has compiled that. We've presented that to the government. But really, it's about, I suppose, investing more money, more resources into mental health services and counselling. And on top of that, though, really getting the message out there that we need to start talking a lot more about these things, having more open conversations about these things. You know, because like as people say, you'd talk to someone if you cut your knee open or you broke your leg, but people aren't necessarily talking about things when they're not feeling the best. But I think we're making progress. I think what we've noticed as well over the last few years is people are a lot more willing to talk about these things, and that's good. And I think if we can keep pushing that and keep going in that direction, we'll probably have a much more positive society in years to come.
And it's something that we have spoken quite a lot about here on Lifeline, is that early intervention, putting a little bit of money in early on saves so much money in the long run. Because, you know, you're basically, what are you getting in this campaign? Around 2 million in funding, isn't it, or something like that, has been put in?
Yeah, so in Budget 2020... The Department of Education received €2 million in terms of extra investment into mental health counselling services, which we were very, very happy with, and we're very happy to see that. But obviously, it goes a distance, but it absolutely does not go far enough. We were requesting about almost twice that. We need more investment in it. Early intervention is so important, because realistically, if you think about it from even a wider perspective, you know, if you can try and, you know, get to grips with these kind of issues and start talking about these issues when they first pike up, and people know that there's support there for when those issues start piking their heads up, then we can get to work and get things sorted, and put people on the right path, the path to kind of recovery or the path to being able to manage what they're dealing with. But if you have a situation where, you know, you've a student reaching out and going to counselling or trying to go to counselling, and there's a line of 15, 20 people, there's a backlog and you can't get an appointment for weeks on end, that's going to cause a lot of difficulties, and that's what tends to lead to, I suppose, a lot of students perhaps maybe thinking of dropping out, thinking about, you know, you know, other things. So it really is about putting money into the system, putting resources into the system. Otherwise, you know, we're going to end up looking back in hindsight and saying, you know, we should have done that. So it's really time to act on this. And we obviously would welcome €2 million. It is an incredible investment, but we definitely need more.
I'm just thinking, I'm trying to work out the maths on it, and I think 2 million, and if you have 400,000, is that somewhere in the region of, it's either 5 or 50 euro per student, something in that region. It's minuscule when you think of it.
I think obviously if you boil it down to every kind of student in the country, you would be looking at quite a small figure. It does work in some cases as to that almost every HEI would get, there'll be an Institute of Technology, university, universities together would probably about get one extra counsellor per institution. So even that isn't enough. We know that we need absolutely more than that. But you look, I mean, it's not enough. Absolutely is not enough. I think we could sing on here in USI about plenty of things that we need. We need drastic investment in the kind of stressors like our higher education system and like our housing system, and they're causing major stresses for students' mental health. And also the fact that the minimum wage didn't go up means that students are going to be about €2.50 below the living wage. So that's actually technically below almost the poverty line. So that's going to cause a lot of difficulties. Look, the money, we're very, very happy about the money that's gone into this. You know, it's progress that we haven't seen in a number of years. It's nice to see the government starting to kind of wake up and saying, right, we need to invest in this. Obviously, we'd like more investment. But I suppose, like you said, when you boil it down to individual numbers, it doesn't sound like a lot. But realistically, it is a good investment put in, and we do welcome it.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with the money going in, but I was just making the point that it is very small. When you consider if one person, and I just say one person, has a breakdown,
yeah,
the cost yeah. of that is just amazing. Like, if you're yeah. talking about the cost for a person going into a hospital is €800 per night, you think of one person having a breakdown and how long that takes and the counselling, you're talking huge, huge money. So that little bit of investment early makes such a difference, and it goes across the board in all forms of healthcare.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just goes again, you know, we haven't been investing in our healthcare system adequately and in the right directions. Obviously, you know, if you look at the figures, we do apparently spend quite a considerable amount of money into the health service. When it comes to mental health, though, we've been quite lacking behind. We've been quite lacking behind in how we deal with things. We're quite happy, though, with perhaps the kind of wake-up that the student mental health report seems to have brought to the government in the last while. It's not as much of a response as we'd like, but it is a very positive response, and we do like that, and we are very happy with that. So, look, you're dead right. Early intervention is absolutely key, and if we start, you know, continue this conversation, making this conversation very much so part of the forthcoming general election, that mental health can't just be something that politicians talk about and politicians going around saying, you need to talk, you need to open up all this, you need to start putting money where your mouth is, you need to start putting these things into your programmes for government and start talking about mental health funding in a much more serious way. And, you know, that's, again, the student mental health report is out there, so if there's any prospective, I suppose, politicians or anything like that are looking at running the next general election, you know, start these conversations with your political parties, because these are very, very important. And as you said, early intervention is key. This is about investment, not necessarily a cost. And these are our young people, and we know the figures. We know how bad young people really have it, and how, you know, much issues are going on with young people and with students. So really do look at this as an investment and about, you know, saving young people's lives, because it really is very important.
Indeed. And I was just looking at your three pillars. You know, healthy eating, physical activity, and talking to someone when feeling overwhelmed. I would possibly put in a fourth one there, which is kind of a grey one, is encouraging the young people to get involved in their community, whether that's through volunteering for different things, getting involved in different campaigns. You know, that to me will boost their own self-worth.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I totally get that as well. I take that on in my own personal element. I do know as well, for some people it may be difficult. So for example, you know, if you had some like levels of anxiety, getting involved in these things can be quite difficult. So I think it actually comes in perfectly as kind of a good fourth step almost. So as in, you know, getting that healthy eating, getting that physical activity, talking to someone when feeling overwhelmed, and then, you know, when you start coming around to things, getting yourself more involved to keep you away from thinking about, you know, bad thoughts or stuff like that. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, extracurricular activity is absolutely key. But for some people, unfortunately, it can actually kind of out of their reach. They can have it so bad that it really isn't possible. But, you know, I suppose you're absolutely 100% right. Taking up a new hobby, getting involved in your community, getting something meaningful. Meaningful work is so, so key, I suppose, to this. But those three pillars, definitely talking, getting that exercise, getting that physical activity, and really healthy eating. A lot of people just aren't looking really at, you know, what are you eating on a day-to-day basis, and how is this actually making me feel bad? Am I getting 8 hours sleep, or am I only getting 6.5, 7 hours? I know myself, if I only get 6.5 hours sleep, I'm not the same person I would be if I woke up in the morning, not just my work, but my mood, and really start, you know, thinking, what are these things that are actually making me feel, you know, not 100%, and looking at them and saying, right, I'm going to start fixing, I'm going to start eating healthier, I'm going to start doing more physical activity. And it doesn't have to be strenuous, you know what I mean? Like, but it makes a mile of difference. And like you said, these are kind of the early interventions that you can make yourself, as opposed to even having to go to counselling.
Indeed. And the very first one there, healthy eating, is probably it's down my alley, as I'm a butcher by trade, and I worked all my life within the kind of the retail grocery trade. And I see it out there now that in a lot of the stores around fruit and veg, they're doing offers and things like that the whole time. And it's much cheaper. And believe me, it is much cheaper to eat healthily than it is to eat the processed stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, take two bananas in the morning and you're flying for the day, really. It's a magic trick. I do think, you know, you're right. It's not as an expensive thing. It's put out there, you know, if you want to eat healthily, you have to have some money behind you. But I suppose, look, at the same time, we also do have to recognize there are some students as well, and this is the reality, and these are reports that came out recently. The students that are on 10 euro a day, that can be quite difficult for them to try and get that healthy eating in, if they're going from waking up at 8 o'clock in the morning, going into college for 8 hours a day, then going in and having to work a job as well. So, I mean, it really is important that maybe we start looking about, you know, healthy eating and trying to implement that into our lives. And it is affordable, yes, but for some people, again, as well, you know, it can take an extra bit of an effort to do that, but that effort is well worth it. You know, start shopping around, you know, if your local store is doing a good deal on fruit and veg, if your local, like you said, local grocery stuff is doing a good deal on fruit and veg, do that, make that investment. It will pay off, it really will pay off. At first, it can be like, I don't want to eat that, but it really, it's well worth it. And I, like I said as well, it's not about, you know, radical changes to your lifestyle. It's just about bringing these things into your lifestyle and maybe making a swap or two. And the mile of difference that it will make is just extraordinary. And you'll thank yourself.
Indeed. Craig, thanks for talking to me this morning. Before we leave it there, would you just remind the listeners, and particularly any students that are out there, where they can get more information about the Recharge campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you pop up to your students' union on any of the institutions across the country that are members of the Union of Students in Ireland, which is pretty much both of them, or you head to mentalhealth.usi.ie, that's mentalhealth.usi.ie, you can get all the information there, and there's also a link to our Plus Connections app, which we really encourage people to download and just have on your phone.
Craig, thank you very much for chatting to me this morning.
Cheers, Michael. Thanks.
All the best. Slán lá.